Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22, beginning with verse 15.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this? And whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of our Lord. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been faced with a tough question? A question that no matter how you will answer it, you might somehow be wrong? No matter how you will answer it, there will be people who will be upset, people who will disagree with you. No matter how you answer it, there might be division. Well, Jesus was faced with a question like that in our gospel today. Now, this wasn't just any divisive question. This question could have had severe consequences for him, depending on how he answered. You see, the religious and political powers of Jesus' day did not like him and his popularity. It bothered them that so many people were listening to him and following him. So the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and the Herodians, the political leaders, decide to team up against him. And they try to trap him by asking him an almost unanswerable question. They knew it didn't matter if he answered yes or no. It would cause some kind of division and possibly even an uprising. It might be similar if I were to sit down with people at a coffee shop or even wherever and ask this question. Now, don't be offended, but just if I were to ask this question: was January 6th an insurrection or a guided tour of the Capitol or something else? Now, I share this example not to cause disputes or anything, but just so you can understand how sensitive the question was that Jesus was asked. So let's step back for a second and set the scene. See, Jesus had already made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and he was now in the temple teaching. We'd heard kind of in our past few weeks some of the parables that he used to teach his followers. But now these Pharisees and these Herodians were going to approach him. And really, the only thing that they had in common was that they didn't like Jesus. So they put aside their differences, they joined forces to pose this question to Jesus. They ask, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Pretty straightforward question, but here's the issue. If Jesus says yes, that taxes are lawful, then he'll offend the Pharisees and many of his followers because he'll look like he's a Roman sympathizer. You see, this tax that they're talking about had been imposed by Rome, and each year every person had to pay the equivalent of a one-day laborer's wage for the privilege of being subject to the Roman Empire, and that was also the cost of supporting Rome's occupation of their own country. And to add insult to injury, they had to pay this tax with the Roman coin, the denarius, which had the image of the emperor stamped on one side and an inscription on the other that said, "Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus, most high priest." You can probably guess that for Jewish people, this tax was very unpopular for many, many reasons. So if Jesus said that, yes, paying taxes was lawful, many of those who supported him would abandon him. If he said no, that he opposed this tax, the Herodians could accuse him of treason and rebellion against Rome. You see, these Herodians, they were Jewish, but they had kind of aligned themselves with Rome. They were okay with this tax. And if Jesus declared it was not lawful, the authorities would arrest him then at that moment for being a traitor and a political rebel. It seemed like they had him trapped. But it's Jesus, right? So Jesus asked for a coin, the denarius, presumably this cost of the tax, and he asked them to identify who's on the coin. And they tell him it's the emperor. Jesus begins his answer to them by saying this. He says, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's." And in that moment, you can almost picture the Pharisees and the Herodians beginning to smile because they think they have him. But then he drops this bomb. He says, "And to God the things that are God's." The second half of the question changes everything. It puts his challengers in their place and reminds them that the emperor has a place, but in a much broader universe that is ruled by God. His answer proclaims that God reigns over everything and everyone. You see, by answering the way Jesus did, he acknowledges that there's a place in life for taxes and laws and obedience to the systems of the world. The coin bears that emperor's image. He can have it. But what then bears the image of God? Well, people. People bear the image of God. In Genesis, we're reminded that we were created in the image of God. But here's the deal. So was the emperor. So what does that say about what is God's? Well, everything is God's. There's no limit on what is due to God, since everyone and everything is God's. So what can we learn from this strange and tense interaction between Jesus and these leaders? What does this response have to do with us? Well, the way I see it, his response did a couple things. First, it opened its way for conversation, right? Can you imagine what the Pharisees and the Herodians talked about after Jesus had dropped that bomb with them and his followers? It had opened this conversation wide enough that maybe some things would be changed. Secondly, Jesus widens the question with his response by bringing God into the conversation. Give to God the things that are God's. In contrast to the image of Caesar on the coin, his response challenges them and us to consider what bears the image of God. It challenges us to consider what God's role is in our lives, in our interactions, in our civil dealings, and in all that we do. Are we giving to God what is God's? This short, complex, weird interaction about a small coin from 2,000 years ago is still very relevant to us today, especially in our politically divided times, especially in our public discourse about matters, things that matter to us, especially as we try to follow Jesus. This short interaction challenges us to look at ourselves more closely. Are we truly giving to God what is God's if everything is God's? Do we truly believe that everything is God's? And do we live that out? Yes, we pay our taxes, which is good, knowing that they're for the common good and that there are limits to them. We give to Caesar what is Caesar's, so to speak. But God doesn't tax us. God simply invites us to participate in God's mission in this world. God simply invites us to live out our life as God's children. He invites us to bear the image that we have been created in. So this weekend, we had our Senate had our LYO youth event this weekend in Mandan. Some of you might be saying, what is LYO? Well, that's our Synod Lutheran Youth Organization. So we attended both. We had both high school youth and middle school youth who attended the event, which was amazing. So the high school event had about 150 students there, and the middle school event had about 260. It was a great time of fun and worship and music and games and service and more. And so if Pastor Mark and myself and Gracia look a little tired this morning, that might be the reason. But the theme for this event was this. It said, I am, you are, we are. And as I got to thinking about this theme, I thought it was so appropriate as we think about how everything is God and how God rules supreme over all things. You see, the theme can be looked also like this. I am a child of God. You are a child of God. We, together, are the body of Christ. You see, yes, we have been created in the image of God, but we have created to work together as the body of Christ, to live out God's mission in our world. It's our calling to love God and to love our neighbor. It's our calling to put God above all things in our lives. So as I tie up and close today, I would like us to think for a moment about our lives. Do we truly believe that we have been created in the image of God, and do we put God above all of our things in our lives? In our busy world, it's not easy to do. It's easy to find our things, putting things like our country, our politics, sports, activities, finances, everything else before God, and then giving God what is left over. There's nothing wrong with enjoying these things. They're gifts from God. There's nothing wrong with engaging in our community, in our politics. It's actually very good. Or doing sports and other activities. But God still reigns supreme even over these things. So as the body of Christ, as children of God, how are we living our lives reflecting the love and mercy of Christ? How are we living our lives so that God is above all things? It's so not easy to do, but we are called to remember each day that we are children of God, that I am a child of God, you are a child of God, and together we are the body of Christ. Amen.